podcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
Welcome to Friday. We're glad that you are tuned into the Refresh Radio program today. Going to spend the next half hour with you right here on 91.5 FM. We're going to be talking about the Word of God and getting things out of our heart and getting the right things in. And so we're thankful that you are going to spend the next half hour with us. Part of the reason that we can do this is because of Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. If you need your air conditioner, or for that slim chance that you might need your heater during this winter season, you can give Bill a call, 759-3284. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program. He is entrusted with a great deal of highly specialized equipment that he makes sure works properly. And I know from personal experience that he does a great job with ours at the church. And I know he would do a great job for you as well. I'm one of those guys. There's a couple of different repairmen that I really want to know that I can trust. One of them is my car repairman, and the second is my air conditioner repair guy. And so if you are like me and you would really like dealing with a believer in those areas, Creative AC Solutions, give them a call, 321-759-3284, and tell them you heard about them from Pastor Bob on the Refresh Radio program. This is one of my last opportunities. Today is the last radio opportunity for me to invite you to our revival services this Sunday with Evangelist Mark Perkey. And he's going to be ministering at Merit Assembly God, 10:30 of a morning, 6:30 of an evening. We had a great, great time with him last year. We are expecting to have a phenomenal time with him again this year. And if you would love to come hear the Word of God preached, very, very humble guy in his presentation and in his life, and does a great deal of missions work as well as ministering in pulpits across America. We want to invite you out. I want to invite you out for Sunday morning, 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. And I look forward to meeting you and seeing you there. So we're going to resume back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We got almost all the way through this passage of scripture yesterday. And then we're going to continue right on into chapter 13. We're talking about getting coveting out of our heart. If you remember, we're not supposed to covet this that belongs to our neighbor, this that belongs to our neighbor, this belongs to our neighbor. Anything that belongs to our neighbor, you don't want to covet that. So I have this kind of joking personality, and that is if somebody comes in, I like to shake hands. I'm a great side hugger. If somebody comes in and they're more of a hugger than a handshaker, I'll give them the pastoral side hug where you come up a side of them and you give them a couple of pats on the arm and then you move on. But if I find out that somebody has come in with a cold, then I begin backing up. I don't go shake their hand or anything like that. It's like, you know what? I am supportive of you. I'm behind you all the way behind you. I mean, I'm a long distance supporter of yours, and I'm praying for your healing, because whatever is going on in them that is making them sick, I don't want it affecting me. You say, well, that's kind of a lack of faith. Well, I'm not using it about that type of about a faith and sickness type illustration right now. What I do want to tell you is the reason that I have that mindset is because I recognize that there is something that is affecting them in a negative way that I don't want in operation in my life. And I want them over it, but I definitely don't want it operating in my life. That's what, the same type of mindset that we should have towards this evil thing that hell operates with, and that is coveting. You know, I don't want to live my life miserable about my neighbor has this and I don't have it and I need to have it. That I don't want to live like that. And so in verse number 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And here we get, come to verse number 31, the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And like we talked about, that word best could mean greater. It's a greater degree. And like we were talking about yesterday, it is the gift that God has that is going to best serve the community in which we are a part, the church family that we belong to. And so I told you yesterday that, you know, we are, like it says here, earnestly desiring for the gift of healing. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. We believe Jesus is our healer. We believe Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And we believe that Jesus is our coming King. Those are our four foundational truths. Those are what we, those are our core values, if you will. We really like to remind ourselves of those truths, especially in the face of adversity. Adversity doesn't cause you to change your core values. Your core values say, you know what? This was true before we faced adversity, and I'm thankful that God has given us this provision now that we are facing adversity, because I know his provision is greater than the problem. So we are earnestly desiring, and you know, on yesterday's program we talked about that it means you run hot for, you're in passionate pursuit of, you have an intensity that is driving you to long for these best gifts, these greater gifts that are available to us from God. And he says, but as you are desiring these best gifts, let me show you the most excellent way. Or yet I show you a more excellent way. And I'm telling you, with a great deal of experience, there is no greater way to live than to live the life of a forgiven, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who plants inside of you a love for God where you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love the created human beings that he has blessed this planet with. You love them just as you love yourself, and you want the very best for them. There are a lot of people who do horrible things, and they do that because of the way that it makes them feel. If it makes them feel good, but it makes someone else feel bad, they're okay with that. But living the life of love, this more excellent way that we'll read about here in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it is something that glorifies God, benefits and edifies the people around us, and it benefits us. It is a no-lose situation. So let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, if you remember, we just got through reading that there was the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy and the gift of interpretation. And he says, but if you've got those gifts, but you don't love people, it's just a really irritating musical instrument. It is a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. A cymbal has one of those ways of just, I mean, capturing your attention right away. And if it's done in a way to annoy you, it really gets your attention. And he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So what Paul is writing, by the way, when they wrote these letters, they did not have the chapter demarcations laid out. It flows right from verse number 31 of chapter 12 right into verse number 1 of chapter 13. And he says, if all of these gifts are in operation and mountains are moving and there's prophetic utterances and there's faith on display, but you don't have love, it doesn't profit anyone anything. And that's why we're here. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Everything that Jesus did, he didn't do it because it was the most comfortable for him. He didn't do it because it was the most convenient for him. The things that he did because it was necessary for our situation to be improved, for our hearts to be changed. And so we need to recognize and appreciate and duplicate that same lifestyle. We have changed our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God to be a blessing. Be a blessing today. You know, I asked our congregation a couple of weeks ago, said, at the end of the day, you can ask yourself, was I a blessing to someone today? And then you can say, how can I be a blessing to someone tomorrow? And if we will just recognize that the God inside of us is more than enough to empower us to be a blessing to our community, to our family, to our church, to our neighbors, it will change the way that we live. It profits. So he goes on and he identifies godly love. Now, we live in a day and time where the word love has been held hostage. It's been redefined is a good word. I'll put that. The world is constantly trying to redefine God in a way that is more suitable and more pleasing to their unregenerate nature. The Bible says God is love. It is who he is, but he is not the world's definition of love. He is not a God who's up there and just approves of every behavior because, oh, well, I love you, so I'm just going to approve of everything that you do. That's not the way that it works. He's the one who defines love. And so let's look at what the definition of love is. We're not going to Webster's. We're not going to any other dictionary. We're going to the Word of God. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I don't know about you, but that's the type of life that I think that we should earnestly desire. And this is something that we can desire for ourselves, and there's not anyone on the planet that is going to be able to pass a law that will prevent us from living out this lifestyle of love. Okay, so let's look at it again. Let me put it to you this way. Love is patient. It says suffers long. We have the word passion, and most people think of passion as something that you exhibit. I mean, it causes your emotions to be on boiling. You know, they're passionate about this person, or they're passionate about this cause. They're really driven. They're really into it. But if you ever watched the movie The Passion of the Christ, you recognize that the biblical meaning of the word passion is not that boiling over emotion, but passion is something or someone that you believe in with such intensity that you're willing to suffer so that they understand how much you love them. That's why if you ever see a child and they're not respecting their mother, they do not understand the passion that that mother has for that child. That child was part of them for 9 months. Some of the most agonizing pain that you can experience was required for them to bring about the transformation from being an isolated individual inside another individual to living in God's created environment. You know, now you're having to take in oxygen, you're having to grow, you're having to mature. It's a really different, completely different environment, and it's all made possible because of how passionate the mother is, how much she's willing to go through in order to see that child thrive. You know, every once in a while you will hear about someone who goes to great lengths to protect those around them, and they're willing to endure suffering, persecution, and sometimes injury and even death to make sure that those around them are safe. Love suffers long. It is the best. You say, but I don't like to suffer. Well, nobody really likes it. You know, Jesus went to the cross and he did not, you know, fixate on the pain of the cross, the suffering of the cross. He was fixed on the joy that was on the other side of the cross. And so I've told my kids about there were times where the only thing that got me through certain things was fixing my eyes on something and just really not allowing any other thought to come into my mind until I got through a very painful experience. Love suffers long. Love is patient. And love is kind. Okay? You're not abusive. It doesn't mean that everything is always going to be soft-spoken or anything like that. There may be times where there is what I call moments of intense fellowship, but you've got to remember that this is one of God's creatures that you are talking about, one of the people that Jesus died to save. Okay, so one of the things that I tell people is I encourage you to be very, very careful when blasting, if I can use that word, just blasting the Church of Jesus Christ, because the church is Jesus' bride. And if you ever want to see my demeanor change, you know, the brood gets a little bit smaller now because they've married. But if you mess with my wife, you mess with my kids, you mess with the church, or you mess with my pastor, those four things will cause my demeanor to change. So I tell people, you need to be very careful in how you deal with Jesus' bride, because I know how I would want to respond. I was like, you know, in fact, when you read in Matthew 16 and 17 about Jesus coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration, in one of the Gospels, Jesus comes down and he says, "Why are you messing with the disciples?" You know, that's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version. And you know, why are you harassing my disciples? Jesus didn't like that. Okay. Love is kind. Love does not envy. I've only got a few more verses. Envy is you see something in someone else and you say, you know what? I'm jealous of that. I want that for myself. Love does not parade itself. It is not love is not the object benefiting the person that you are demonstrating the love of God to. That's the object. That's the goal. Love here is the tool. It's the gift that we use to benefit those around us. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love isn't arrogant. Arrogance sets itself up as one person being superior to another, as one thought being, or as one goal or thought is superior to another. It causes a class system, if you will. So, and the goal of that, the goal of pride, is not to make someone else feel better and lift it up. It is to suppress them. It is the opposite of this mindset that we have, that we're going to earnestly desire the greater gifts for the benefit of everybody. Okay? Love does not behave rudely. I remember one time when I was growing up, someone had done something to me, and you know, an opportunity came for, okay, say teenager, that's when this happened. Somebody had done something to me, and an opportunity came for me to respond in like kind. And they let me know that my timing wasn't as good as their timing, and that my behavior was rude. Now, whenever I see the word rude, I automatically go back to Full House. How rude. And, you know, just that matter of factness. Love isn't that way. Love is there to benefit. Love does not seek its own. Okay, it gets harder. Love is not provoked. Love does not think evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Okay, now I want you, you know, if you want to write that, underline that verse in your Bible, that will really help to clarify some of the redefinition that takes place in America, where there is an attempt to just redefine love and as a condoning of things that have eternal consequence. love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love is not inclined to think the worst of people. Love is inclined to think the best of people. Love does rejoices in the truth. Now, rejoicing in the truth is the truth that God declares. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the truth. Whether you agree with it, whether you don't agree with it, it's still the truth. And so we rejoice in that. Love bears all things. I don't know if you've ever come to the place where you've heard someone say, you know, I'm at the end of my rope. Well, I'd like you to know that when you come to the end of your rope, you will find that Jesus is right there with a whole lot more rope that he can help you to get through this. Love bears all things. Do not throw in the towel. Do not give up. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the type of love that Jesus has made possible for you and I, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us. And verse number 8 begins this way, and this is where I'm going to conclude today, and that is this: love never fails. I think back to an old song that Sandy Patty used to sing, and you know, it was Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. He is the personification of love. And I want you to know that no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how many times you may have failed, Jesus still loves you. It doesn't matter how far away from him you feel right now. I want you to know his love never fails. He loves you right now. He loves you too much to abandon you, and he loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. He comes to change our situation. Love is something that we all should be living out day to day. We'll see you next week right here on
Thank
the Refresh
Radio
Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.